Podcast, episode 311. Beautiful Disaster. Well, I knew they were a band. I didn't know how it was pronounced, all right? Is it 311? Is it like 411? Like 911? No, it's 311. Well, thanks for telling me, Fuzz. Fuck you.
These kids today, they're not remembering their 90s, early 2000s.
I never listened to them. I just knew they were a band.
I didn't listen to them either, Saverin. But I paid attention to the world. I don't listen to Justin Bieber either, but I know it's not pronounced Biber.
Words are hard, okay? I learned it from Shiva, all right?
You know, if I'm a huge fan, I have Biberia.
Oh.
So, Fuzz is here. Hi.
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 And all three of us together since, what, January?
Yeah.
It has been, as far back as January, really?
Yeah. So I had to stop shortly after turned the new year for, because of Con.
Yeah, and then we missed weeks when, like, I was at FC, mm-hmm. and you were doing something, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
So here we are.
It's been a while.
God, we're so predictable.
God. As we both listened to, like, Kevin Smith podcasts for a long time.
Yeah.
It's like, that's awesome. So he's going to be here. The same con that Peter Capaldi is going to be here. So,
weekend is A-Con.
I'm going to the con. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't expect you to give A-Con, dude. You don't give half a fuck about anime.
No, I don't. But I do care about Doctor Who.
There's not even half a fuck.
It's like, I'm going because I've got reasons to go.
I wouldn't even get the tip in. I'd just be like, I'm not into this.
It's like, oh, no. Let me know when you're... Then there's like a Zootopia con and Zootopia fan con, right?
For all the zoo files.
He just really likes Zootopia. Loves. I know what we can call our fandom.
We all just really want to fuck the bunny.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And hey, I showed you those images, right? From that artist, Cromboy. Guy has done nothing but gay horse dicks for the last couple years.
Uh-huh.
Suddenly, Judy. And then he's like, I want to fuck the bunny. Even gay horse fuckers. Cart of the pony side, pony kind, are like, I want to fuck that bunny.
Well, this whole time they've all been saying that they were straight. They just really like to put, you know, foot-long horse cocks on mares. But
well, as last week's song would attest, yes.
Yeah.
Hey, it pays.
God. Wolfie Man. I
have we gotten any, like, comments on that?
You know, I haven't... Oh, God. I would have to go look at the YouTube video. Because I included a link to all those things, because, I mean... Source shit, right?
Oh, that'd be funny and if they were like, I heard about this on podcast.
And they're like, what the fuck is that? Well, oh shit, it's weird too, because there's this one musician, the pony musician, who does really good synthwave stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. It's all like new retrowave. And MDef Mech was being a derp, mm-hmm. and talking like, does Severia have two vaginas? And apparently he was like, he favorited a couple of the comments.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, this guy is like, all right, he's a closet furry. Is he going to check out this show? Did he hear about this us from, like, comments on YouTube? I don't fucking know. It's so weird. But it's just like, oh, this musician whose stuff I like follows me and I didn't notice. And, oh, I guess I should tell them I like their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's always fun when, like, you find an artist or a musician or something who are fans of you and you've been fans of them, and it's like, yeah. Oh my God, mutual fan.
I like your shit. Yay, high five.
Yeah, it's very furry. We're fans of each other.
Yay. But yeah, I want to fuck the bunny.
There's been some really good Zootopia stuff. Not even all that. Hardcore, just really.
Oh, it's just cute as hell.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's like that pic I posted today of just it's Nick and Judy hugging with all of her bunny siblings around.
Also yeah. Hugging,
you know,
totes
shit adorbs. Tons of retweets and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just this is cute. Here's the source.
Isn't it funny one where she's sticking a carrot in her mouth like,
it's like, hey, check out what I can do. Well, that's a I mean, Weaver has been doing continuations, like 8 or 10 pages. The one where he's like, I like how you smell. And they're talking about how she's into predator prey, and he's into bunnies, and yeah.
Wait, are you into pred play?
And then that weather comic's like, just bite me already. And
like, yeah.
Never tell anybody about this or I'll tase you.
That was adorable. So, in conclusion, we want to fuck the bunny.
Yes.
Not the fox. But not necessarily hence fuck the fox. The furry Illuminati panel has decided.
Yes. I mean, beyond that, it's just been another week. More creative bullshit. That's not really it. It's like,
is that what you're putting on your resume now? Creative bullshit.
I make videos
that 1983 to present.
I make videos that almost equal number of men and women watch on YouTube. Actually, so I'm really proud of my demo right now. I'm like 53-47 split.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
That is phenomenal for most channels that do what I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's all gaming and
most of the gaming stuff, but the other stuff that I do gets a really mixed audience. So like
the pony audiobooks.
Well, like the pony stuff, I don't really do that anymore because it's just shit ROI, and so much work for not a lot of views. It's really heartbreaking after a while. Mm. But like the comic dub stuff that I do, it's incredible. People like it, and so like my demographics are 53-47, slightly favored dudes, but for like channels that are a lot larger, have like, you know, max 70-30. Like, mm-hmm. That's cool. I like making stuff that appeals to everybody.
That's cool.
If only they knew what a degenerate fur faggot I was.
Yeah. I know you're negative 10 on the scale.
On the scale, yes. Yeah. Where I have negative value, and therefore crimes against me would go unpunished.
That had to be just...
I really hope it was just somebody, either a really stupid teenager or someone being, like, satirical.
Some fucking foam face.
No, it didn't include fursuiters as a protected class, so it's not one of those.
It included fiction kin, which I can only imagine is like, I have the soul of a creature from like the Harry Potter universe or something like
You're not wrong. It's, I believe that I am an incarnation of Naruto or Daenerys.
So my sarcastic expression of I have the soul of a Pikachu is...
You're not wrong.
Right.
Though that would be... Otaku kin.
Oh, I love it when you correct me on this Tumblr bullshit. Please do go on.
It's one of those things where it's like, I pause and I think, no, it's actually dumber fuss.
You're right, except it's worse.
Yes.
God.
It's like, I have the soul of Katniss Everdeen from this book series.
Mm-hmm. Hunger Games.
I couldn't remember what it was off to. And they'll get into fights with other people that claim to be the same kin, or like they have things in their blogs where it's like, if you're kin with antagonist of book, don't follow me. I'm not shitting you. I promise.
Wait, so if you're President Snow kin, you can't follow the Katniss Everdeen kin because
you'll
have to kill each other or something.
I'm not even shitting you. I've seen such things.
See, you know, she's my spirit animal, you know, except I misread, you know, and I ate too much. So I actually thought it was fatness ever eating because that fits me better.
It's just an AU.
Yeah, it's an AU.
Kind of like that.
She never went to the Hunger Games because she wasn't hungry.
Yeah.
That's what it's about right now. Actually, I should totally make it clear that I'm a big fan of the movies. I have not read the books, but I really enjoyed the four films.
The internet's full of really dumb stuff. That's just all we got to say.
It was making me think of that thing that was talking about different fandoms and different fictional universes, like, you know, the Tolkien fandom. I totally want to go to Middle Earth. And Give me another one. I don't remember what the other one was. These fans want to go to the place it takes place, and they're like, and the Hunger Games fans are, I'm good. Thanks. I'm fine.
Let's see.
So, I haven't really done much. Oh, I filed my taxes. Yay, I paid my taxes.
I
did a business.
My taxes are kind of almost done. I've got a couple questions for you. And I also found out that I never got any tax files from Adam and Eve last year.
Oh.
So I've in contact with that company going.
Is there a thing you can log into on their website to get it?
I don't know.
Because I know with Amazon on the Kindle store side, I can download my 1099s. But, like, on the physical book side, I can't. And they had, for some reason, they had my old address on file. Even though they mailed me 1099s last year without a problem. But then at some point, they changed it back to my apartment address in Dallas. And so I had to, like, pull it off the website instead. But, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be in contact with me. I've got a couple more days. I've got everything else already ready to go, pretty much. It's like,
hey. The deadline's tomorrow.
No, it's not. It's the 17th.
Wow, it's the 17th this year?
Yeah.
Oh, due to where weekends fall.
But yeah. It falls on the 15th is a Friday.
But you have till the 17th this year.
They were like, we'll give you an extra weekend to sweat it out.
Worst case, I file an extension. I mean, I made so little money last year, it doesn't really matter. I won't own anything other than, like, the baseline for fucking, Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
What about things like Patreon?
Including everything.
Yeah.
Really made fuck all. Which is fine. I'm a fucking housewife. But you won't ever pay the bills doing just audiobooks, kids. Just putting it out there.
You're a house waifu.
Pretty much. Yeah, taxes. Pay the government.
Yep, I gotta do my... I filed my taxes for March in Pennsylvania because they, in their infinite wisdom, decided that I need to file monthly in Pennsylvania. Even though I only sell there one weekend a year. And they're like, yeah, so I will have fun filing 11 $0 tax returns in that state this year. And then one big one for Anthrocon. Illinois used to be the same, but they figured it out after the first year I did that. And they moved me to quarterly, which is a lot less of a pain in the ass.
And they won't let you do that for Pennsylvania?
Well, I was quarterly and then... They have this thing where, like, if you collect X amount of sales tax at certain times, it puts you into different categories. And they base it on the third quarter. So our sales have been kind of steadily increasing at Anthrocon. Mm-hmm. But for a couple years, Anthrocon was in the second quarter because it was in, like, it fell in, like, late June.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a good year last year, but last year was in the third quarter. And they're like, if you're over X amount in the third quarter, you automatically go to monthly filings.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. If Anthrocon had been like the previous weekend, I would still be filing quarterly. I could probably call them or something like that. But the Pennsylvania sales tax department is just such a pain in the ass. And they send me a monthly email reminding me when the deadline is, so it takes a second to log in and put all zeros into fields and hit file without payment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just one of those silly bureaucratic things where it's like some states you can get a unique tax ID every single year, like California, go to FC, get my sales tax ID, well, the other way around. Get home, file my taxes for California. We're done with that. I never use that number again. And then I get a new one, you know, the following FC. But some states you have the same tax number,
permanently, like Texas, Illinois, Pennsylvania.
Texas doesn't have state tax, so you don't have to fuck around.
Well, sales tax.
Yeah. It does have sales tax.
Yeah.
But... yeah. I'm saying, you know, like our vendors would have to get sales tax IDs, which I gather for people outside of Texas, it's a pain in the ass because you can't just like not file if you don't go to Fiesta 1 year or something. Mm-hmm. You have to either close your business in Texas.
No, you just file zero.
Or you file zero.
You just file zero.
I guess it depends how often you're planning on coming to the con. Which is why there's, like, certain cons, like, we always go to. I mean, that and a bunch of other reasons, you know, like, size and how well we do there and everything like that. But luckily, Washington didn't have a permanent one. It had an annual changing one. So, with no rainforest this year, I don't actually have to do anything with that. Sad. No rainforest.
Yeah.
I hope it comes back. It will not be as big as it was, though, depending on where it ends up being. So speaking of confuckery, we want to give you the 311 on the latest furry drama.
What is the latest furry drama?
Nazi furs.
No. So is this the furry raiders?
Furry raiders, yeah.
There's actually a Tumblr ask about this.
Oh, is there? Okay, yeah. All right, well.
So we'll just jump right to that email question.
And they also put out a new statement today.
Yeah, I read it. Okay,
Anon asks. You can read if you want.
Okay, who or what the hell are the furry raiders? The only resources on them I can find say they are a group trying to, quote, advance furries, whatever the hell that means. It means we're going to pass our A-levels. But suddenly there is drama about them wearing armbands that look like Nazi armbands in group booking rooms at RMFC so other people can. I've heard jokes about furry Hitlers in the fandom before, but can you please explain to me and other listeners what is going on here if you have any idea? Okay, so I've been paying attention to Twitter, and basically Rocky Mountain FurCon's Twitter posted a link to a Google Plus post that was like, okay, first they made an individual tweet that said, okay, a group has booked up 25% of the rooms at the hotel, so a lot of people were not able to get rooms in the room block, and here's a statement about that. And it turned out that this group had booked up a bunch of rooms at the hotel in January prior to the room block being announced in February. What's not completely clear is some people are saying they just booked rooms at the hotel, and some people are saying that because one of the members of this furry raider group is on staff at Rocky Mountain, that they knew what the room code was before it was announced to the public, so they got it. They took up part of the actual con room block. but either way, basically this particular hotel and booking system, unlike AC and MFF and a lot, basically anyone that uses passkey to control those kind of thing, they didn't have anything in place that would stop like one person from booking a fuckload of rooms or anything like that. Like MFF's system, you can only book one book at a time, and you can only repeat the process once. So you can book a maximum of two rooms. And since you have to go through once and then try to go through again, you might not even get that second room because others might have taken them up at that point. So other cons have some controls for this.
If it was booked before the room block was in place, still, there's only limited things that could be done. I mean, it was before the room block was there, too.
And they said they're going to be talking to their, they're only in this hotel for 1 year because their existing hotel was being renovated this year. So something they'll be talking to their hotel for next year about having some controls in place for it. And it's one of those things they didn't have a rule for because it had not happened to them before, you know, and It just didn't occur to them, I guess. And that happens, you know, usually when you see a rule of some kind, you know, like I don't know, don't stick your dick in a microwave. There's usually a reason for that because somebody did it at some point.
They pulled a stupid.
Yeah, somebody pulled a stupid. There are signs on apparently one of the tramway light rail systems in like Miami or something like that saying not to force the doors open and to only allow the doors to open when the train is at a complete stop. Because apparently some commuter one day was in such a rush to get off the train and get to work that they by hand forced the doors of the train open as the train was pulling into the station and jumped off just to get out of the train like another 10 seconds early or something like that. And probably got injured or killed. So now there are signs on the train.
Don't do this stuff, dumbass.
Because somebody was an idiot. So... You know, so that, you know, I can't really fault them for that, but.
Well.
So going on to the other part of it is that, so the guy that runs Furry Raiders, there's a Furry Raiders profile on FA you can look at. It lists everybody involved with it and running it. Note of caution, they list several people's profiles at the bottom as their. I can forget the word they used, ambassadors or something like that. Those are people that they list that the people there don't necessarily know that they're listed or approve of it. I know of at least one furry who was like, look, I met the dude at a party and he seemed like an all right guy. But then I found out he listed me on his Nazi sympathizer group and I totally didn't approve of that. And I'm totally not involved with this group in any way, so please remove me. So not everybody on that profile is like actually in the group, but the people organizing it, basically the main guy that organizes it is an idiot from what I could tell. You know, just I don't know, their Twitter, like, I think there's maybe some mental issues going on there. Like, their grammar and spelling is really bad. And you read some of the tweets and you're like, what exactly the fuck are they trying to say? But there's been, like, the guy's personal profile, the age on it is basically, it's set to Hitler's date of birth. And he's, their armband is basically just like the Nazi armband with the instead of the swastika, it's a paw print. And that design and color scheme is like instantly fucking recognizable to like anyone that's seen a World War II movie or anything. You know, it's really, it's like a white hood with eye holes. You really can't confuse it for anything else. And the guy's also tweeted about how he doesn't like black people and would totally beat on them if he could. So when people are just like, it's just an armband, lol. No, it's actually a lot more than that. It is actually a Nazi sympathizer group. They've used the word furzies to describe themselves, which apparently in German means to fart. Amusing little side note there.
So wait, this is an RMFC or BLFC?
RMFC, Rocky Mountain Furcon.
I was kind of looking at Twitter now and going, wait, what?
No. RMFC, which is in August, if I recall, in Denver. So that's basically what that is. They've basically said that they booked up a bunch of rooms so that their friends and family would have rooms. They're letting people stay in them for free, apparently. I mean, it kind of seems a little bit like a publicity stunt.
Yeah, they look like a bunch of attention whores.
Yeah, that's, you're pretty much an attention whore if you're going to be one of those edgy motherfuckers who's like, yeah, I'm totally down with the Nazis, yeah, you know? It's like a retweet I saw the other day. I want to be a fluffy, cuddly husky, also fascism. I really like fascism.
Well, I mean, and of course, they're like, here are some of the members' own ideas for our paw. We love seeing new ideas being thrown at us. So there's the text. Yeah. And it's this fucking patch on a goddamn trilby. And I'm like, how stereotypical can you fuckers be?
Oh my god. I mean,
and this is a group that has 66 followers and following 66 people. It's not like they're some big group. It's just a gaggle of assholes.
Mm-hmm.
That should probably be shoved out the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that.
And they've been really vague on what their, quote, missions are. Their idea. Well, it's like,
we're here to advance the furry fandom by providing equal opportunities. Also, give the Jews!
Yeah, to me, that's what that sounds like. We're here to advance the furry fandom by eliminating the Jews and racial minorities. It's kind of what it sounds like to me.
That the pure furries lost their magic powers because they interbred with Jews?
Was that actually part of the Nazi mysticism? Or
actually, yes.
Okay.
That the pure Aryan race had lost their psychic powers because centuries of interbreeding with the Jews. As I mentioned on Twitter that my workout was, I was listening to last podcast on the left. I'm still working my way back to their podcast log. Mm-hmm. And I bet they feel about the same way as we do when someone goes back through our podcast log. Uh-huh. And it was about Nazis and the occult. And it basically discussed that these guys were, A, they twisted around their shit, were a bunch of humorless fuckers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're Nazis, so they're really fucking evil, too. And, like, they detailed some of, like, the actual wacky beliefs. Wackadoo is the term that they used.
Mm-hmm. So they're, I mean, really, the plot of Raiders of the Lost Ark is actually not that far off the mark. Or the Nazis are looking for shit that'll give them magical powers in order to conquer the world. Yeah, and they talked
about the Spear of Destiny and Hitler having that and what the Spear of Destiny was.
Mm-hmm.
It was an actual like Roman artifact that was a spear that people claimed
was the one that pierced Christ's
side. And so like then you know, it's one of those things that coincidentally the day that Patton got a hold of the artifact in Nuremberg, the next day Hitler killed himself, because it said if you use the— and this is really fucking esoteric shit too, so just like people are going, what the fuck is Saverin been paying attention to? I'm just saying, going down some weird holes lately. It's great. That, like, anybody that used the power of the Spear of Destiny, if they lost control of it, like, they didn't have any more, they would die.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and apparently that's what happened. Patton died, like, the day after he delivered the piece back to Vienna or whatever. It's like, really? Huh. Okay. I don't know for sure, but that's kind of cool. So, yeah, the Nazis are all about their mystical bullshit.
It was on a podcast. It must be true.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we're factual all the time. we have to the FCC, the furry communication FCC.
Yeah. Furry Communication Commission.
Truth. Now the episode I'm listening to is about a group UFO abduction from a hotel.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Aliens. I'm not saying it's aliens.
But it's aliens.
But it was aliens.
I'm not saying it's furries. But a bunny was fucked.
At least it's not Nazi aliens.
Yeah.
Those are the Nordics.
Wait, what? We are here to abduct you and kill your Jews. Is that how that goes?
I don't even know, man.
Oh, jeez.
Like, part of the podcast, you find out all this weird shit and they take the piss out of it.
Yeah.
And talk about, like, how fucked up these people
were. We should just take the piss out of Nazis anyway. I mean, yeah, you know, Nazis. Somebody was complaining. Somebody had written a think piece article, I guess, about how Nazis nowadays, like, they're the butt of jokes in movies. You know, they're like your go-to villain and stuff like
they
that.
They kind of earned it.
No. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But what they were saying was, is that, like, is diminishing how evil they were potentially damaging or lessening their impact in history to the point that, like, it might happen again. Like, we have to remember how fucking evil they were so that we never allow something like that to happen again. And I'm like, I'm kind of torn on that because, like, I kind of like these power hungry madmen that did so much damage to the world being now reduced to a joke. Yeah, the man who wanted to take over the world is a skit in Monty Python, you know?
Well,
that seems right in a way.
Done by people that were, like, born right after or during the war.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, there's plenty of storylines if they just wanted to, like, hey, we need to find a Nazi villain. Well, there's a lot of Nazi villains because they're kind of all villains, really. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, do you want to talk about, let's see, the weird ass mysticism? All right, let's go there. Or we go with the, you know, the fact, you could go with the weird angle that the fact that the guy who was the architect of the concentration camp started life as a chicken farmer.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, there's...
Hashtag not all chicken farmers.
I know, right? So, don't be a furry raider kid or a Nazi. And if you're a chicken farmer, don't let failed artists from Austria convince you to join their party. It's not really
if a party. If you're a chicken farmer, you gotta watch your shit, because we're watching you.
That's right.
If we see any funny stuff...
Yeah. How are you, Shiva? You've been just absorbing our bullshit from over there.
What are you reading on your phone? It's so interesting.
I just didn't have anything to comment because I don't really know much about the furry raiders, you know, to add anything. I hadn't heard of them before now.
Yeah, what do you know about Nazis, Shiva?
We covered that a couple of podcasts ago.
Did we? Okay. Yes. All right. Oh, I totally, like, okay, you know, remember, like, last year we were at MEFFIT and we saw the guys dressed like the Nazi furs and... I think we talked about it on the podcast after that like I totally think there should be like a group of furries that go dressed as like the Inglorious Bastards, you know, group of like
Jew.
Who's a literal bear fursuiter. Yeah, we need a group of Jewish fursuiters to dress up like the Inglorious Bastards.
And come stare at these dudes.
Yeah, or just sort of follow them around the entire con.
You know, or you could pretend that, you're, you know, some of the guys from Operation Paperclip and just assassinate them or kidnap them to force them to work for the government.
I just want to unnerve them. I don't want to actually kill anybody.
No. You get a bunch of people dressed up as Inglorious Bastards, and then you get someone dressed up as Indiana Jones, and you just stalk the Nazis.
The whipping. I was just thinking the Indy fursuiter just whips the shit out of them all weekend. Like, stop that! Ow!
Whip the piss out of them!
And he just keeps repeating, Nazis, I hate these guys.
Nazis. Why did it have to be Nazis?
Yeah, and that'll be the only time I'll be okay with like those fursuiters with the boom boxes on their back is the one that has the Indiana Jones theme.
Open up something, a box that's marked ARC in their general direction to see if they melt.
That'd be awesome. Or some larger set piece, so when you open up the arc, it's a pop-up of the guy with the melting face.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Nazis should just be a theme for a con.
No,
we could have some fun with that. Making fun of Nazis. I mean, not pro-Nazi, of course. I was actually going to tweet that one day. Nazis, hashtag rejected con themes.
No, it's just like you have a word in your mouth and your brain stops you. You're like, okay.
It wasn't fuck you first?
No.
It looked like that was what was trying to come out of your mouth.
I have to either that or a scorpion that you didn't quite swallow. So I have to share this story.
Oh no.
So at home we have a cutting board, and it's one of those weird white plastic cutting boards that has a little handle. It's like really sturdy. So Tyrion gets on me sometimes about my horrible puns. And he was standing in the kitchen when he happened to see on Twitter that I had retweeted a tweet of RMFC's Twitter account where they said that they didn't have anything in place to prevent this. And I had added, I guess they did not see this coming.
No.
And he's like, you did not make a Nazi pun. And I was like, well, it's kind of funny, right? He's like, that makes it worse. And he picks up this fucking cutting board by the handle and runs after it and starts paddling me with it. And I'm like, ow, I've got to go to work, honey, stop.
Well, then of course, Jeeves pipes up. And then I piped up. I bet the ruse did this.
I don't remember seeing that. That's awful.
Yeah. Well, it was because Zia replied and was like, Buzz. And then Jeeves replied, and then I replied to Jeeves because I'm terrible.
It's okay. It's good to know that I wasn't the only terrible person on Twitter. Okay.
God, I'm awful.
So, do you want to read another?
Yeah, let's read another. Hey, this is a short one. Y'all have been talking about fucking the bunny a lot. It's got me thinking. Have you heard of the Primal Hardware bunny buns? It's apparently pretty tight. So, Primal Hardware is
the... Yeah, what is that?
They're the dong makers that have the cactus.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's soft. It's not like, actually spiny.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's right up Severin's alley.
Basically, it's a cactus butt plug, cactus dildo thing. This one's a bunny buns. It's a... Basically, a.
I did see it. It's a stroker. Right?
Yeah, it's a stroker.
Yeah.
I kind of like Bad Dragons better because, you know, you want to fuck the bunny and have like 500 children with the bunny. That's just me.
Wait, so what do you mean? What's different with
Bad Dragon? Bunny buns is a butt, and the Bad Dragon one is a vagina.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's still a stroker, same diff, really.
Right.
Though the bunny buns is probably more, you know, more butt like. I don't know. Total length 8.5 inches, diameter 4.14 inches.
Which one
are you guys reading? It's $110. Bucks, same price as Bad Dragons. But Primal Hardware, they're the guys that make they have the cactus, they have, you know, standard dong, they have wearables, masks, harnesses, the ovipositors, so you can put, you know, gelatin eggs up your butt.
Because why not?
Tentacles.
Yeah, we're doing it.
High five.
A very sad high five.
So, yeah. We're out of practice. So, I had not heard of the bunny buns, but...
We're white. It's okay.
You know, I
had heard of the bunny bun. I saw somebody tweeted, or on, like, the AD Twitter, I think I saw somebody tweet a picture of it.
Well, it's like, you know, now it's like, man, if I get one of the things from Bad Dragon, is it gonna, do I get the bunny one or just one of the pony ones? I'm free. No, I'm just kidding.
Still get the rarity one.
Yeah. So there's that.
Next one. Okay.
This one's for Shiva.
It is. Hold on.
Okay, there you go.
Dear Notcast, sorry for the wall of text. Yarf. That is all. Hashana.
Hashna. Yeah, there's only one.
You're forgiven. You're forgiven.
Yay. Okay, so I'll take the next one. Oh, hey, it's not a... Ho, ho, ho. Oh, this is funny to me. Where can I find out what kind of topics are coming up? I've been listening for a while, and I thought I might finally send an email in. Oh, if you find out, tell us, because we have no fucking clue.
Well, I mean... We do occasionally try to have topics and we post about it to our Twitter account.
Yeah, that's really the only place we'll actually post a topic ahead of time. And 75% of the time, we don't even do that. It's really been like a free-for-all for 2 or 3 years now.
Basically, it's like what's been going on in the furry universe that week or, you know, it's... I mean, what's going on in the world?
I mean, if people want to suggest topics, they can always do that, too.
Yeah, totally. We always have suggestions.
It's just after 300 episodes, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're always open to, like, hey, if you went to a con this week, you know, write in and...
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's furry or not. Just let us know.
Yes.
Tell us about your cool adventures in cool places with cool people.
Yep. So, yeah, that's that. Pretty much follow us Twitter at Notcast.
Let's see.
Over to you, Severin.
Let's see. A few episodes ago, you mentioned a Zootopia fanfiction group. Are people selected by merit like Kingsman or... ...
I guess that's your wheelhouse, then.
I imagine that it is... Well, the only Zootopia fanfiction group that I know of is probably the ones that's centered around 4chan's comics and cartoon board. They've got a pastebin, and they've got a number of people that collaborate, or it's like, hey, these are like the 4 or 5 dudes that are writing stories along, you know, Choose Your Own Adventure style, or they're posting it in excerpts on boards during threads. But because the janitors on Co. are a bunch of assholes, it's been really hard to keep a general threat alive. Because they're like, oh, somebody posted something that we deem too saucy and or too furry. Because this breaks Global Rule 3.
What's a Global Rule 3?
Global Rule 3 is no furry outside of B.
What the fuck?
But it's art of Zootopia. It's basically janitors are being assholes.
Like, wait a minute. What's this separate but equal thing? Why do we have a separate water fountain on 4chan?
I posted that one when Lauren Foss was shitposting on Twitter, answering people's questions with whatever flippin' shit she thought of.
Yes.
I posted she was like, oh, Mrs. Cake has stallions on the side. And I posted that Jane Naylor comic. Uh-huh. I got a warning because get your anthro shit out of here. And I'm like, it's fucking topical, you fucking shithead janitor. Fuck you.
It was dangerously furry.
That's the thing, man. 4chan's got some Nazi mods, kind of. They like, and it's their own little fiefdoms, you know. It's like
fiefdom. Yeah.
Words are hard, right? It's like, oh, the code janitors.
Don't you narrate audio books?
Yeah. And sometimes if I come up against a word, I'm like, I'm going to double check that, make Siri say that shit before I say it. how the fuck do I pronounce blah? I had that happen with, God. Well, I didn't know that about Sean.
Yeah.
Summerhill. But there was another word that I had trouble with. I like mispronounced it several times in a book.
311?
No. it was in the fourth edition book.
Oh, okay.
It was like something that I said like three or four times. It was wrong.
Cock wallet?
Yeah. No, it's cock warmer. Oh, right. It's just shorthand for fox, right. So the Zootopia fanfiction group that I know of is basically just some dudes that are posting their shit to 4chan. It is not a formal group. I'm sure that there's probably people that are going to write. Like, I'm sure that there's probably a Zootopia / Pony fanfiction group on, like, fanfiction, but I don't really read. I don't go to, like, fanfiction.net and hunt stuff down. If people go, hey, this story is cool, read it.
I was elected to lead, not to read.
And, like, since I'm not really doing, like, the Pony audiobook stuff anymore, because mm-hmm. it just wasn't a good spender of my time.
You start doing Zootopia audiobooks.
I could. I really could. And I could do some Zootopia comic dubs. I could basically just do exactly what I did with Undertale with Zootopia. And I wouldn't even hate myself for it. Because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, so.
Next one.
I'm sure that there is a Zootopia fanfiction group out there you can get into. The one I know is very informal.
Oh, God. You're going to make me say this, aren't you?
Yeah.
You can do it, Shiva.
Mm-hmm. Please say this on the show. I want to hear one of you say, come on, bro, sneeze that dick's not all up in my bro. This brought to you by thinking way too much about the tissues while it's pollen season.
Come on, bro, sneeze that dick's not all up in me, bro. Yeah. Oh, give it to me. Oh, baby.
Mucus. Oh. Come on, bro. Sneeze that dick's not all up in me, bro. Cha.
No homo.
Homo, only bromo.
You're kissing me, a dude, on the mouth right now.
Just bros being bros.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Oh, I get to read an actual sex advice question. Okay. Hi, naughty casters. I have a sex advice question.
You still answer those.
Yes. Do you have any experience with role play in the bedroom? Not online role play, but actual IRL role play, like when you're like 2d6 to conquer the dwarf with your penis. If so, do you find it easy to play a role while being intimate?
Let me be a d20, you nerd. Wait, I'm the nerd.
My boyfriend always suggests we roleplay, and I enjoy it too, so we try it often. But then he gets self-conscious and embarrassed, like he's worried I'm going to judge him or his acting skill. I love him, and I've told him I'm into it many times. Do you have any advice? This is something I don't actually do. I mean, I will, like,
not me either.
Growl and nip and stuff like that, but I guess that's just sort of playing a dominant role, but not really like a... I'm the teacher, and you're the naughty schoolgirl. Yeah.
not really acting out as such. I mean, yeah, all you can do is really tell him that you're really into it, you know? And people say and do dumb shit when having sex all the time anyway. I mean, it's why the concept of the O face exists. You probably... I was going for a pony sound and it came out Scooby. And okay, yeah, see, you know, that's the thing that, like, you know, that I would always preach on this show is that, like, sex should be fun. And you don't have to take it super serial. And I guess just impress that on your mate. Like, you know, don't worry about it. It's not, you know, you're not like reciting Hamlet. Unless you actually are. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you might be a Shakespeare file. I don't know. But yeah,
I'm trying to muster it up. Like, what's going on here, Scoob? Oh my god! Like, you didn't invite me?
Oh, jeez.
I was trying to process the voice and I didn't do it very good.
But like... All I did was it.
Raggy? Oh, Raggy's back.
I just sound like...
Yeah. You know, when Scooby-Doo's like, fucking running around with WWE, it's kind of hard to take it seriously. Then again, what?
Well, like the wrestling thing?
Have you seen... Oh, you probably haven't. Never mind. So, there's been a bunch of, like, Scooby-Doo meets John fucking Cena or something. And, like...
What?
There's Scooby-Doo at WrestleMania, and there's, like, Scooby-Doo and the Speed Demons and whatever it is. It also features a bunch of wrestlers.
So
I swear to God, this is real.
Okay, this is one of two things, and I will describe them, and you tell me which one it is. This is either, like, 70s Scooby-Doo, where it's animated and they play against the Harlem Globetrotters, or it is somebody in a Scooby-Doo suit showing up at the actual wrestling match.
It's the former.
That is so disappointing. I was really hoping it was the latter.
Now, to be fair, a lot of the, like, Scooby-Doo anime stuff, they'd have weird people show up on that.
Yeah, it's like Scooby-Doo meets Batman. The Flintstones meet WWE. That's the movie, too.
Scooby-Doo in WrestleMania.
Yes. And it has him doing the little hand thing with the cartoon John Cena on the cover.
It's right there.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I've seen it posted around.
I get that John Cena's a wrestler. I don't know why he's a meme, though. That's sort of
funny. Because he was a face for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's like the hero character, I guess, in a way.
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Poor John Cena's mask.
Now, to be fair, the guy who... John Cena himself, he's got, like, the leading record on Make-A-Wish wish grants.
Yeah,
he's done like 400 of the damn things.
Pretty cool dude.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. It's like there's actually some pretty decent people involved in wrestling. Like if you look up Xavier Woods, he's apparently a really cool guy too.
The Rock's a pretty good shit.
Yeah, and now he actually was one of the top grossing movie stars of all of last year. Like made almost $1 billion, I think.
Damn.
So yeah.
Motherfucker is doing good.
No, I was really surprised to find out that how many Make-A-Wish things that John Cena has granted.
Yeah.
It's an amazing number of them.
If you want to...
That's really cool.
Talking about cool wrestler dudes, Xavier Woods, the dude's got like a fucking master's in finance, is helping all of his cohorts manage their money.
Oh, neat.
Is like just a really cool dude in general, has his own YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
and like his shtick, he does Let's Plays with wrestlers, other wrestlers, and they do it in character. And at WrestleMania... That were the guys that came out of the giant box of booty O's dressed as fucking Super Saiyan, like the Saiyan warriors from Dragon Ball Z with unicorn horns on their heads, just fucking around because they're a bunch of nerds. They're like, we're treating WrestleMania as seriously as it should be taken.
Yeah, so August 23rd, 2015, John Cena granted a milestone 500th Make-A-Wish request. That's last August.
And that's him showing up to like 500 individual kids.
Yeah.
As their wish.
As their wish, yeah.
That's really cool.
I mean, one of them, they had pictures of, like, him doing a tea party with a little girl. Mm-hmm. You know, just, yeah.
That's cool. Somebody else that does that a lot is Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Does that a lot, too, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Star-Lord, Chris. One of the other Chris's does it, too, I think.
Evans.
Evans.
Captain America.
Captain America. Yeah, Captain America. He does it also, yes.
So that's, I love when, like, especially people who play, like, hero characters go out and do this kind of stuff.
What's really cool is that they actually sometimes show up in costume mm-hmm. and stuff. Like, yeah. Chris Evans, like, had the shield and everything with mm-hmm. at one point. And,
or,
yeah, Pratt Chris went Pratt dressed as Star-Lord. Yeah. Peter Capaldi does a lot of visits like that to hospitals in Britain, and he'll actually do it in character as the doctor, which is, it's really amazing to see all these little kids. They're like, they're meeting the doctor, and mm-hmm. he's like taking their minds off of
whatever's happening
with them in the hospital and everything. And it's like, just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to do that. They don't have to go and do more acting when they're already being paid to act in their job, you know? But they go that extra mile, and that's really
another
awesome.
Another thing Chris Pratt did recently is for... I saw it passed around Facebook. It's like, okay, go to this website, donate $25. For each $25, you get a raffle ticket.
Okay.
If you won the raffle, you got to go spend a day on the set with him on...
Guardians Volume 2?
Yep.
Cool.
Have lunch with him, do the whole thing, and he'll... And, you know... You know, and the proceeds went to the Boys and Girls Club in his area because they were expanding like the teen part of the section and they needed a lot of money.
Yeah.
So for $25, it's like, for $25, I'll spin the wheel and take my chances.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a very good cause anyway. Yeah, so that's cool.
So another thing that Chris Pratt has done.
That's cool. I know he challenged Chris Evans and one of the other ones. It was like two of the other Chris's. It was the Thor Chris.
Was it the football challenge where...
I don't remember exactly what the details of the challenge was.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth is Thor, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but he challenged like Evans and Hemsworth to something.
And whoever does this has to... And then the losers have to go show up at hospitals and, you know, kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've seen that one.
Now I ask who.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, that's something dumb that they've removed the functionality from in the latest version of Android.
What?
You used to be able to set a different lock screen from your home wallpaper, and now it's the same. So I can never have, like, a... raunchy or suggestive wallpaper because it will show up as my when I activate my phone and mm-hmm. you know if anyone bumps your phone or something you don't want to see like oh there's mm-hmm. you know raunchy Zootopia porn or something.
Yeah, so basically I was showing Fuzz that I swapped my so that one pic I posted of it's Nick getting hugged by all the bunnies, I made that my lock screen
mm-hmm.
but then I also changed my home screen to a tasteful crop of the that Sampikos nude of Judy that you see her shoulders and that's it and her pretty face
mm-hmm.
and that's it. I have the full pic as my wallpaper because I am a fur fag that lives on the edge. We are coming up on an hour.
Okay.
Let's see. So we have six more after this. So. We are going to stop and save. We will play some music, possibly, or not. I mean, I don't know if we can top last week's music break.
Yeah, that was something else.
Yeah, and if we did top it,
I went to the YouTube where they actually had the lyrics for it on the YouTube posting. Yeah,
Phillies with big noodles.
Yeah.
Thanks, Wolfie Man. We appreciate it.
And hopefully so do the rest of our listeners.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet they did.
Be right back.
Oh, God, Sarah's reaction to that was fucking priceless.
It was.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more, with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code NOT at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping when you enter offer code NOT. That's K-N-O-T at AdamandEve.com.
And we're back. How are you guys changing your wallpapers to lewd pictures of Judy?
No.
Nudies?
No. I still have a cute picture of Judy.
That's a cute picture of Judy.
I've got pictures of my cats. Of Ludi.
Ludi? It's a cute picture of Ludi.
Look at that. You just want to hug the bunny and or fuck the bunny.
Yes.
Or both at the same time.
Yep.
Yes.
They're not mutually exclusive states.
I'm not dirty furry, really. I swear.
Totally are. At least you're not one of those Zubros.
Zubro?
Is that what they're going to call themselves?
I don't fucking know, man. Zunis?
Brutopians.
Brotopians?
Brotopians. Brutopians are fans of craft breweries.
Oh, so, what's that?
Yeah, he'd totally be a Brutopian. I don't know. I made that up.
I will let him know. So
searching for the ideal craft beer.
All right. Well, this one is a email directed at you that I will read, Fuzz.
Oh, yes. Read dirty to me, Saffron.
All right. Dear Notcasters. Actually, this one's more specifically related to Fuzzwolf. Sorry, Steven and Saffron. I still less than three you guys, too. Less than three. Fuzz, you were at a publishing convention last week, right? Maybe you're already going to talk about it on the show, and if so, yay. But if not, can I request a con report? I'm really interested to know what a con goes on at a con like that. What sort of panels happened? What you learned? What networking opportunities were available? Geez. It is.
Yes.
Whether you got to meet publishing guests of honor or books. Okay, I was like, did I accidentally know book suitors? If you won the publishing dance contest where you have to break dance while binding a hardback by hand, you know, normal convention stuff. I ask because the only conventions I've been to are sci-fi cons and one furry con, and I honestly can't imagine many similarities between those and a more organized industry convention. So I'd love to learn more. Please share your bounty, :3, ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo. Who is almost certainly going to become a bunny as of June 2016. Gotland.
Okay.
Why that specific date?
I don't know. Maybe, is there a Blu-ray release date yet?
His Fursona lease is up at that point. He can turn it in. He has either the option to buy it or turn it in, and he's just going to turn it in.
Yeah. So I went to BookthrowCon.
Sweet.
And it was actually she was telegrammed something to us.
Oh, no. It's a comic.
Oh, okay. All right.
BRB,
wait. Fat. Stop. Must read comic. Oh, I'm going to wait for a minute.
Wait
for it to load properly. Go back to Jeeves's email. There we go. Okay, yes. I went to Publishing University, which is put on by the Independent Book Publishers Association, which is a large organization dedicated to independent book publishing. So none of the big five publishers were there. We were all independent publishers. I don't know. I probably didn't take full advantage of it because I didn't wake up early enough on Saturday to go to like the breakfast networking thing and stuff like that. I met a couple people, exchanged a couple business cards. They did have, it's not really a vendor hall because they weren't really selling things. I guess it's more of an exhibition area, which was actually the back of the main room where the large panels happened, which was pretty cool. So a lot of it was in one area like that, but they had various, it was a lot of printing companies. Oh my God. Small publishers are
inundated with advertising for printing companies. Because, I mean, hey, what do we need to do? We need books printed. But we all got a nice little tote bag with the name of the con on it. It was packed full of flyers for various services and things like that. But they had multiple tracks, whether it was like focus on the book, which everything about that was every panel under that track was relating to the actual book, whether it was like typesetting or editing, cover design, so forth. And then they had another track called Focus on the Business, which was more about the businessy sides of things, like contracts and taxes and things like that. I went to a couple of the panels that, like, the only problem I ran into is that a lot of the people on the panels were like there representing their particular companies or whatever. So some of the panels kind of fell a little like, buy my product. Here's what you need to do as a small press publisher. And we can help you do that if you sign up with our company and buy our product. So some of the panels are a little self-serving like that. Some of them weren't, though. Some of them, like, was just person giving information. And, yeah, they worked with a publisher or whatever, but it didn't come up, and they were just sharing good information. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's a delicate balancing act, I can see, when you're presenting at an industry conference like that. Different from furry and sci-fi cons, and it started on Thursday. They had like some late night stuff on Thursday, which I didn't make because I was working. I flew out very late at night on Thursday, and then they had full days of activities, full schedules on Friday and Saturday, and then it was over on Saturday. Like Saturday at 5:30, it was done. So I flew home Sunday morning. Funny enough, one of the best networking experience that I had at the con had absolutely nothing to do with the actual conference I was at. But it turned out that two Utah furries who I follow on Twitter happened to be in Salt Lake because they got married, which was really cool. And I was like, oh, I'm in Salt Lake too. You know, I'm here for this thing. Oh, we're staying in this part of town. And I was like, really? So am I. I'm at this hotel. And then their response was floor 11. And I'm like, floor 4. Let me DM you. And they're like, because I was like, hey, you guys want to get together for a drink or go to the bar or anything like that? And he's like, well, we just got a bottle of champagne delivered to our room, so come on up. So when I was basically done with the con, you know, and was like, well, I guess I'm just going to watch Zootopia in my room and then go to sleep, because it was on the, I didn't do it, but it was on the pay on demand in the hotel, by the way. Mm-hmm. I could have been a total fur fag and watched Zootopia again in my hotel room. But no, I ended up spending like 3 hours Saturday night hanging out with these two guys. And it was really nice to like meet them in person, I think for the first time. And what's cool is one of them actually published three short anthologies a couple years ago called Alasso. And I think I'm probably mispronouncing it, but it was like A-L-L-A-S-S-O. I might have one too many L's, one too many O's on there. But anyway, it was a really good little series. It had some really great stories in there. Lots of good writers. I mean, Mary Loud is in there, White Yodi, James Steele, bunch of folks that I've ended up publishing since in my anthology. So we got, you know, we got to chat about that and everything. And so that was a nice way to end the con, was having like a little mini fur meet, I guess, just the three of us. Yeah, so just one of those really weird random coincidences that seems to pop up in my life occasionally. But the con was pretty informative. I've haven't fully taken it all in yet. I wrote down a bunch of notes. I actually need to go back and review what I wrote, see if I can make sense of my chicken scratch handwriting, because... but yeah, one thing you want to bring to a professional convention, you want to bring paper and pen to take notes with, unless you're going to do it on a laptop or something, and you want to bring a bunch of business cards. So that's my advice for that, which you didn't solicit, but I share it anyway, because I guess I do that. But no, in informative publishing stuff, basically. I didn't agree with everything the panelists said, but a lot of it was interesting. And there was some other, like, there's one guy I definitely picked up his business card because he was there representing a freight shipping company. And I was like, huh, maybe I can get rates on what it would take to ship to some of the cons that we have to fly to rather than using like regular mailing services, mm-hmm. you know? Because like UPS and FedEx are frankly prohibitively expensive. Yeah, that would suck up a lot of any profit that we would make. But there's a lot of other different freight options. There's also things like, do you know Greyhound and a couple of the other bus services like that actually sell shipping space on their vehicles because they don't completely fill the cargo area with the passenger's luggage. They actually have enough room to actually have some, actually bring some packages. The only drawback to that, I mean, you have to go to like the Greyhound station or whatever at your destination in order to pick it up. So you probably have to rent a car or have a friend take you, but I'd have to see if that would be cheaper than like shipping directly or whatever. But sorry, boring business stuff. Lots of things like that, but this is the kind of shit I gotta think about.
This is what I was looking at while you were talking, Fuzz.
Oh, that one. Oh, yes.
We got to that email. I was like, I'm just gonna find it. And I actually replied to the guy from my phone.
Oh, okay.
Like, there. I have directly replied to you asking about this GIF.
Can you post the link to our Notcast Twitter account?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll actually throw it into our... I'll throw it from my phone into our Telegram group because I can access the link from my Telegram desktop on the desktop. That's the easiest way to get the link.
Okay.
I don't have the Notcast Twitter account on my phone for whatever reason. I need to
change. But you have it on your desktop. Gotcha. Yes. Okay. Well, let me just go ahead and read the email related to that image then. Or does the fact that you're just emailing it to him, do we have to read it?
No, go ahead and read it.
Okay, all right.
Because I will, like, link the...
Animated GIF. All right, Notcast, you win. I have been forced to beg and plead like the pathetic whelp I am. I have scoured the internet in search and delved deep into the bowels of Rule34.pahil. I don't know what that is. Is that a thing?
It's a Rule 34 website.
Okay. With no success. In episode 308, Macabre Phoenix, you referenced a GIF. A GIF which, from your descriptions, appear to be the embodiment of all my recent fantasies given physical form. And in the cruelest of acts, you gave no means to find it. You can't just describe something like that and not give any follow-up information. It's against the law or something. I demand to know to find said depiction of interspecies fellatio. A life without Nick and Judy animated porn is no life at all.
I haven't seen this either. Regards, you guys have not shared.
Regards, I'm a pseudonym.
Okay, so... I directly replied to this guy with a link to the E621 page, but if you go to E621 and look up the artist, Just Visiting G, so JustVisitingG, they have 15 posts. Mm-hmm. Two of them are the black and white version and the colored version of this particular GIF. It is Judy going down on Nick. It's pretty hot.
What is it? It's E631?
E621.
21.
I will drop the link into our Telegram chat in a second.
Meanwhile, I'm going to read the comic that Shiva posted to our Telegram
chat. Yeah, it's a, if it's a translated Korean one.
Oh, okay.
They,
is it Korean?
It started in Korean. But we're totally referencing things that our listeners can't listen to because
this is such a great audio podcast.
But yeah, it's a comic. The Koreans fucking love their comics. What the hell's going on here?
And they do a good job too.
My iPad is malfunctioning here.
Again,
I hit a button. Okay, so I'm gonna read an email while we're all being various degrees of furry. Anonymous asked a question. Have you three ever had to deal with friends behaving inappropriately in public? Vaping and no smoking bars and Lolly declaring, it's legally different from smoking cigarettes, they can't do anything. Being obnoxiously picky in restaurants and refusing to tip, stuff like that. There's a friend of a friend in our social group who always acts this way on nights out, and I'm trying to find a way to react other than telling my friend that either he doesn't get invited or the rest of us don't come. Actually, I would just go with the latter there, because dudes like that, they're probably douchebags.
Now, keep in mind that if you're doing shit like that and you're embarrassing me, I am not afraid to tell people to stop being fucking assholes, especially about stuff like no tipping, vaping, you know, because when they do that, they're fucking embarrassing me.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I mean, and actually nowadays, a lot of places that no smoking have the, this includes e-cigs.
So
go fuck yourself.
It's
and like refusing to tip. That's just rude.
Yeah, and the no tipping. They have to really fuck up for me to, you know.
So I've dropped the image in there for you, Shiva. Hope you like it. It's really hot.
Made me drop my key.
You won't need that for a bit.
Just like, oh, especially that, like that little bead of pre-cum that she licks up, just
right up the side.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. All your furry dreams will come true.
So basically, if there's a asshole that is being a public embarrassment, it is perfectly acceptable to shame them. If you've told them that, and I say if you have told them, dude, you're being embarrassing, cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if they continue,
give them an opportunity to repent first before you kick their ass to the curb. Mm-hmm. Because nobody wants to hang out with that guy, but sometimes
other people
that
who are also
guy needs to know that he's being that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, true. I mean, I've been out with friends where somebody has been overly loud, overly rude, being a jerk to the wait staff, and I haven't ever really hesitated to say, dude, knock it off.
Yeah, I can't see being a jerk to the wait staff. That's just,
especially
like, why?
Well, actually, it was, so this is a positive experience. So,
okay.
Panther and I have been going to the positive, as you wave your little paws around. So Panther and I have been going to this Black Eyed Pea since we basically moved to the area because he loves Black Eyed Pea. One of our first dates was at a Black Eyed Pea. He loves their pot roast. And we've gone to this one long enough that the waitresses know at least his order. I mix it up. I mix it up all the time.
But I mix it up eclectic, yo.
And so she's like, oh, hey, good to see you guys. Okay, you like this and this, this, water, no lemon, right? Extra rolls, lots of butter. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's great. You have like a 25% tip.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, yeah, you did good.
It's like I love going to Jasmine's now because, you know, they knew what flavor of hookah I get.
Oh, sweet.
Well, God, the Whataburger we go to all the goddamn time knows, like, oh, hey, guys, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, hey, we're back.
I'm not sure what with your turnover you know us means, but.
Well, the manager stick around, usually. You know, there's always the fresh meat that churns a lot, but. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that creepy, overly attentive lady in a while, and I'm really glad about that.
Yeah, she was like, may have been told you're being too creepy and overly attentive. I think she's a manager though.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
one time that she was being super mega creepy, overly attentive was when they had regional managers in the store.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All kinds of rules change when regional managers are in the store.
Yeah.
Like, here, I dug an extra survey thing out of the trash for you so that you could fill out the survey. I mean, that level of kind of
it was during Fiesta where me and Silver Eagle went to the Whataburger across the way and they slightly messed up my order. They had the barbecue chicken, the hot wing sandwich thing.
Okay.
And they use jalapeno ranch as opposed to regular ranch.
Oh, right.
And I was like, hey, I just want to let you know you guys put the wrong ranch in it. And they're like, oh, God, are you, is it okay? Or do you want, no, no, it's great. It's a happy accident. And they're like, there's guys looking around because there was two regional manager guys in there. He was like going to wet himself if I told him, you fucked up, you fucked up.
My God, I will blow you to suck the venom out. Just please don't complain. Yeah. It's jalapeno. It's not, it comes out anyway. Trust me. Just roll with it.
Yeah. All right, Fuzz. You get a long one.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't know if I've practiced enough for a long
one. Oh, my God. This is a wall.
You know, you can like.
Also references my Twitter.
Good luck and Godspeed. Okay. Some people apologize for a wall of text. This is a fucking wall of text, people.
This person doesn't apologize, whereas that one sentence one from earlier, they apologize.
That's true. Yeah. We'll take that and apply it to this.
Yes.
Ramblings and Motor City FurCon 2016 con report. Yeah, I haven't heard a lot of con reports out of MCFC, so this will be interesting. Okay. Hello again, Notcast. First off, I can't help saying how much I cracked up when I saw that Fuzz changed his Twitter name to Judy is my waifu, which I did, yes.
The sheer number of people that are like such and such ZPD and stuff like that is pretty impressive.
Yeah. While I'm not necessarily thinking about fucking the bunny, unlike Fuzz, I will say that Zootopia was one of the best movies I've seen in a long time, and I really found Judy's optimism and enthusiasm both inspirational and contagious. You know, that's actually honestly why I really like her. It's not just that she's really cute, because all the characters are really cute, but like her just upbeat outlook and everything, and how she says, fuck you saying I can't do this, I'm gonna do this. Yeah, I don't know, just her personality is just really appealing to me. Anyway, on a story front, I really admired how much they managed to fit into the world. Unlike a lot of animated movies out there, Zootopia felt like a setting where so much more was going on besides what was happening with the main characters. Let's just say that I love the development of the characters, depth of the story, and I'm seriously hoping that I can take some of the great story examples and apply them to my own writing. I've seen Zootopia 3 times in theaters with my husky, and I get surprised with new details that I spot every time I see it. I also crack up imagining Savrin driving a huge band like Fennec and saying, I'll bite your face off, before slipping on some sunglasses and driving off. As a final note, I can't wait for an occasion to come up where I can say it's called a hustle, sweetheart, to someone. Now on to the con report. I caught up on all my classes on Thursday, and it was picked up by my mate that evening to stay at his place. After a night's sleep, we took a 15-minute drive to the Sheraton in Novi to get our badges. No time was wasted in dropping a massive amount of money, because from there we went right to the Dealer's Den, where I picked up Overtime and Dude, Where's My Fox by Kyle Gold, as well as some adult art books by Rukus and Clam Crusher. Yay! After a bit of milling about the artist alley, my mate and I headed to a comedy hour led by Uncle Kage, where none other than Toot Ranting Griffin had also shown up. And they ended up going back and forth through various screwed up stories and continued on through Kage's story hour until they had to be kicked off stage for Pepper Coyote and Fox Moore's concert. They put together one hell of a fun show, and I really admired the level of musicality and improvisation each of them brought to the table. Things got interesting at the end of the concert, where a wine-pickled Kage asked me if he and Two could take empty seats next to me, and after the concert ended, Kage and Two ended up launching into more stories of drunken shenanigans to the delight of my mate, myself, and everyone sitting nearby. Kage launched into one story about Urofern several years ago, where a friend of Two's asked him if he and Kage would say hi to someone who's a big fan of theirs. Two asked me if he could have me sit between him and Kage so they could recreate what they did to this poor German kid. Oh no, no, no. Not the Scheisse. At one point, a drunken griffin in a wide-open lab coat started to push in from either side of me and proceeded to lick the sides of my face. I can now say with my maid as witness that I was licked simultaneously by Uncle Kage and Tudoranta Griffin in a hotel near Detroit. For some people, that sounds like hell.
For them, it was Friday.
Yeah. That's true. I'm only like a third of the way through the email.
After a dinner break and some downtime to quiet the uncontrollable laughter from earlier, we returned to the con to watch a couple of improv shows and headed back to my mate's place at around midnight. I still can't believe that was only Friday. Saturday morning saw me and my husky getting up early to make it to the first parade and head to a show presented by the charity. I know this podcast isn't huge on the foam faces, but I will say that I've seen a massive improvement in fursuits over the past few years, and although they were there were a share of pretty cringeworthy bad fursuits in the group, overall I noticed more and more really nicely done heads and suits this year over previous cons, and some highlights were a snow leopard in a really well done Ghostbuster cosplay, a wolf ZPD officer, and a really adorable looking Fennec.
Well, is there any other kind of Fennec?
Oh man, that would be the saddest children's book ever.
The ugly Fennec.
He's so small and ugly.
It's like a chihuahua. What an uglier chihuahua.
It's like a chihuahua with huge ears. And more fur. The charity this year was a Michigan-based organization called Animal Magic, which is a no-kill exotic animal rescue group that works in collaboration with zoos and rescues exotic animals from owners that can't handle them or seizures from people in illicit businesses. The owner put together an incredibly entertaining, informative, and interesting show that included a two-fingered sloth named Seven as the star. I learned a lot about sloths and other animals during the show. Apparently, the charity sloth is a complete freak of nature because sloths are incredibly sensitive to stress, and most sloths aren't able to be taken on the road because they die from stress. Not only has this sloth gone to shows all across the country for over a decade, but she weighs over three times as much as most sloths in captivity or in the wild. As a side note, the animal sanctuary managed by Animal Magic was one of the first to successfully breed sloths in captivity, and in honor of the Department of Mammal Vehicles, they named the baby sloth Flash.
Aww.
I bet breeding them in captivity was really, really slow.
I mean, their foreplay takes like 3 weeks.
But yeah, Flash, that's cute.
That is. Two other big highlights in the show were a Fennec, who was just as cute and yappy as you'd expect, just like Saffron.
Yap.
And a binturong, which is a critically endangered species of mammal from Indonesia that somehow has a body set that heavily resembles the smell of popcorn. Hence they've been hunted to extinction and poured into cinemarks across the country for our smelling pleasure. Wait, no. The binturong he brought was a strange mix of characteristics. It looked like a mix of a cat, a red panda, and some sort of marsupial. But it acted a lot like a really attention-hungry cat, much to the amusement of everyone. The Animal Magic Show was preceded by an improv show and charity show featuring Morph Kage 2's drunken antics. And after a quick bit of dinner, my mate and I sat through the fun of the fursuit dance competition. This one wasn't quite as impressive as previous years, but I simultaneously admire people for being able to be so coordinated in fursuit. And I also know I'm going to hell because I thought several of them looked pretty hot. They probably were. That's why it's really important to hydrate when you're fursuiting. A trip upstairs later, and we were in the middle of a sealed pack for Otacon tournament hosted by Seppel, the creator of the game. I played through an all-out four-person game for about 3 hours and ended up making it to second place for my group. While cleaning up the cards later, myself, Seppel, and a few other people there ended breaking up into an impromptu rendition of Bohemian Rhapsody, which turned out to be a real high point after a drawn-out game. To end the night, I headed to the rave with my mate, and I proceeded to dance around like a total queer until the dance closed at about 2:30 a.m. I really regretted not staying at the hotel then, because not only was I dead tired, but it had started to snow, and both myself and my mate had left our jackets in the car. A frantic cold sprint and quick drive saw us both at his place, and we slept to prepare for Sunday. A final drive back to the con saw us heading to a second different rendition of the Animal Magic Show and a fun-filled charity auction that kept up last year's tradition of selling a large rooster plush as a big fat cock. We picked up some sketches and badges we had ordered in the artist's alley, and then regrettably I had to wave goodbye to the con until next year as I headed back to my college dorm. Having to catch up with work at PCD have been particularly strong this week, so this is why my email has been a bit delayed. Motor City Fur Con is an absolute blast, and while it's a bit less easy to get to than larger cons, it's a weekend-long party where anything can go on. Keep the podcasting up, but I hope I didn't drag out too long. Shoji.
You had fun. Yay!
Woohoo! So, Shiva has escaped.
Yep.
So, I guess...
Glad you had fun.
Yay! I guess you could get the next one, then.
Okay. So... Hi again. This one's titled All About That, About That Zootopia Documentary. So I actually haven't a chance to watch it. I've been busy. But it's all right. Okay. I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Okay.
It's on my desktop. I just haven't watched it. I've been doing
it. It's some good shit, yo.
Yeah. Hi again, Outcasters. First off, Shiva, congrats on your new house. Thanks, guys. I hope the move goes smoothly. I think I'll have to come and visit sometime. Smiley face. It was great to see some of you at TFF this year. Especially enjoyed the fursuit hugs that I got to give to Steve and Sarah. I know I saw Fuzz being busy at his table. I spent a good portion of the con across the aisle hanging with a few artist friends. I'm pretty sure that I missed Saverin. Sorry, Finnick. Frowny face. I just watched the Making of Zootopia documentary that you guys were talking about last week. I must say that I can't remember the last time I've seen such a long and in-depth documentary about the making of a movie. I'm impressed at the amazing work the filmmakers put into the film and story, and holy crap, the amount of rewrites that it came to it before they came out with the final version. I'm dying to see what the Blu-ray has for bonus content. Are you guys as excited as I am?
Yes.
Yes. I have pre-ordered that, and I have pre-ordered the graphic novel, and I really need to get a copy of the art book.
I've pre-ordered a DVD graphic novel. They're actually doing a drawn
version. Yeah, it's drawn one. They've actually put out in other languages.
Oh, wait, that's right. It's the one that's like a prequel?
It has a prequel section to it. Oh, and it's okay. Basically the movie, but done in it's movie style, but it's like ultra furry.
Cool.
And it's like $10 mm-hmm. for the trade for that on Amazon right now.
Nice.
Anyways, and on a slightly tangential note, your theaters in Texas are so much nicer than some of the ones we have in the SF Bay area. I saw Zootopia for the fourth time, yes, I'm a huge Fairfax, so sue me, during TFF at the theater near the con. The theater is so clean! Like, eat fluid off the floor, spotless clean. They have these huge, fully reclining electric seats that were so comfy and cushy. Why can't we have theaters like that one in California? Because the chairs give you cancer.
But we don't care about that in Texas, because freedom!
Yeah! Yeah, it's a good question, because that actually the one that's closest to the hotel is that new AMC that's on the backside of the apartment complex where you used to live.
Yeah, the AMC 9.
And it's brand spanking new, has like two IMAX screens and others like...
Does it have IMAX screens?
I think it's supposed to have like two, that's not true IMAX, but it has two like... That size.
Projector. It's that new mega screen size. There's also the Look Theater is the other one that's really close. And that, holy shit, that has like the fucking, actually they both have like the Atmos. Like the second time I saw Zootopia was at that AMC 9 and like your whole fucking row is shaking.
I still have only seen the movie once. It was such a terrible person.
Maybe we need to like go again. Like it'll be really quiet now. It's been out for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Just
be
like, do like another little mini Furfag movie meet or something. Yeah.
Yeah. We should do that. Anyways, hope you guys are doing awesome. Keep on casting those knots. Or fucking the bunny? Question mark. Funny face. Your Arctic Fox Vixen from California. Cassidy. Cassidy. Cool. I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Yes. Cassidy congratulated you on your new house, by the way.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Had to step away a moment.
That's okay. You get to read the last email.
Snake and Bunny.
I guess so.
Dear Notcast, I'm sad to hear of the Pokemon Co.'s strict hold over things convention. All things convention. I do have to hand it to them for making some bizarrely on-topic comedy, mainly of both snakes and bunnies, I shall explain. In a recent episode of the Pokemon anime, one of Ash's traveling companions, a nerd named Clement, meets a girl with whom he has a surprising amount of compatibility with. They're both nerds, and they geek out about machinery for a good while. This gets his kid sister, Bonnie, jealous, and she does her best to dissuade the girl from pursuing her brother. One way she does this is by implying that her brother likes to have Arbok, a snake Pokemon, wrap its coils around his body while he's in his underwear. This would be weird enough, and is, of course, totally made up, But it turns out the girl actually likes the feel of Arvok scales, much to his sister's chagrin and confusion. Out of all the characters of the day, they end up finding the one that would probably fuck the snake. Oh, and let's see. Oh, yes, I mentioned bunnies as well. The girl's Pokemon is a Bunnery, who's crushing on Clement's Bunnelby. Both are bunny Pokemon, and the main takeaway is that the Bunnelby is really popular with girls, but doesn't really anything want to do with romantic relationships for one reason or another. Still, that Bunnery was giving him bedroom eyes, so that there was some implied snake fuckery and Bunnery fuckery all wrapped up in one neat furry package. To add to the layers, the snake girl works at the Pokemon equivalent of Apple, fittingly called Orange. I couldn't make this up if I tried. The season of Pokemon has been pretty good so far, with little to no filler, but I can't help but feel someone on the production team had listened to Notcast while the script was being written and let it loose this filler episode. Either way, it made for a fun, if surreal, time and hopefully made someone chuckle. Well, that's all the Pokemon trivia for me. Keep on casting the knots and try to keep from fucking the snake. It's almost like it's become a fad. Yours truly, Fortune-Honored Certified Pokenerd. Let's see. P.S. With all the con drama going on, what are some suggestions you have for a good con to start out with as a first con? I, myself, live in California, but you can make it in general for this. I want to just make sure that the cons didn't explode or get invited by, well, pick a group. I'm sure something even crazier than what is already happening will happen by the time this letter reaches you. Most cons are pretty safe. It's really been on... You'll get random weirdnesses, but none are super prone to it over another, really. This is the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, we've had some weirdness lately, and that kind of sucks, but... in general... You know, cons are pretty good, yo. It really depends what you're looking for out of a con. I like to recommend people start with maybe a smaller one sometimes. But then I've had other people, like, their first con has been Anthrocon, which is like the big kahuna. So, you know.
That was my first con. My first furry con.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
What was my first con was MFM 99. So that was a long time ago. I'll be going to MFM again this year. So that's a smaller con if you want a kind of cozy old school feel. California, I know, has both Califer and Further Confusion. So depending on what end of the state you're on, you can pick one of those. They're both in the first half of the year. I have not been to Califer. I've only been to Further Confusion, but I've had a pretty decent time at Further Confusion. Sales go pretty well there, so they have a pretty active dealer's room, so that's nice. God, I'm like the worst person to really ask, though, because I'd be like, well, their dealer's room was nice. Programming? What's that? You know? Because unless it's a panel I'm on, I'm like hardly ever out of the room. Sarah, any thoughts?
I would say, like, I mean, if you're in California, you have those two plus maybe BLFC.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, that's kind of in between.
It's like an 8-hour drive from the Bay, from what I gather. From,
I mean, people. How far? It's like, what, 6 hours between LA and SF or so? Or is it longer?
Yeah, it's longer.
Is it?
It is, yeah. Actually, let me check.
It's like 4 hours from Dallas to Houston.
Okay, Google. How long to drive from L.A. to San Francisco?
We're going to find the fuck out.
Huh. You know, that's actually a lot less time than I thought. You're right.
Huh?
7 hours.
Okay. So,
that's it?
Yeah. That actually really surprised me because I thought it was... I guess there's more of Northern California. But then beyond that, but you know, if you were walking, it would take 138 hours.
And you'd die.
Yes. Oh, bicycling.
Thanks, Google.
44 hours.
But you'd be in good shape when you get there.
And dead.
Uh-oh.
What?
What, did we just get another email or something?
No.
What?
What is it? Don't hold out on a Saffron.
Or is it not cast appropriate?
No, I posted pics to my Twitter of both my lock screen and my
wallpaper. Yeah.
And someone's like, bunny is not for sexual. And other people are like, fuck you, it is. And other people are like, you've got a lot of email because it says I have 70 pieces of email or 90 pieces of email.
Oh.
I was like, someone sent us an email? No. Actually, he's just.
you have a little bit of backlog.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's just I haven't synced my phone.
Oh.
Well, I could watch Judy blow this fox all night.
Thing is, it doesn't look that much like Judy to me. It just looks like a bunny.
Well, Judy doesn't exactly. She doesn't have like hair or anything. She is just a bunny. Mm. You know, they didn't give characters like hairstyles except for
a bunny. Okay. Mr. Big
had his toupee. Gazelle had her hair.
Mm-hmm.
The blonde pig. Who at the DMV, who's also the cop at the end.
Did she have hair?
I think she had hair.
I don't think she did.
Then the sloth girl also.
Yeah, she has some.
Yeah, it's like certain characters had some hair, but it's like not.
It's just like styled fur.
Yeah, it's not like furries that have hair and fur. Fucking weirdos.
I know, right? Wait. Oh. Because your character doesn't have head fur.
No. It's just longer head top fur.
Hmm.
Mine has hair. Anywho.
Also he has rad shades and
yes.
80s coat. I've actually, like, I've got YouTube fun bucks.
Uh-huh.
That I'm like, I should spend some money on Fiverr and commission a whole set of, like, channel art and shit along like an 80s theme, 80s neon theme.
Yeah. I like that aesthetic. Yeah. Your character seems to suit it for some reason.
It's from, I was born in 83. I grew up in the 80s and the early 90s. You know, I was lucky enough to have the golden age of Disney Afternoon.
We lived in Moonbeam City when we were growing up.
Shame that show didn't make it. It had a neat style.
Wait, it didn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I'll have to finish watching
what exists. On that note, though, I would recommend that artist that I mentioned other goes by the name Denotive. They put out an album called Sentinel just recently. It's really good. It's like an hour long, and you can listen to it free on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
So letter D, Notive, Notive, Sentinel. Check it out.
Okay, cool.
Good stuff.
Was it like the pony that did that?
Well, he did pony stuff, but he's just gone on to do general stuff as well.
Okay, cool.
Like most everybody, they're like, we started out here and now we're going elsewhere. Like in a lot of artists I've been pointing at, like pony, Zootopia. Wait, I can draw furry stuff now? I can draw furry stuff now. Porn. God bless Zootopia. All right, so at this point we're actually at an hour 37. Wow.
Oh, so I'm gonna make a quick shout out here, because next week we will be recording on Wednesday.
Yep. Because Shiva's packing to move and you guys have a con.
And Saverin and I will be heading down to Austin for HavenCon, which is an LGBT gaming convention, which also has some furry interests. The con chair and founder has become a furry, has a suit, and he's really reached out to the furry community. And I'm actually going to be dealing there. So you can come and I probably won't bring the whole catalog because I think I don't remember how much space I have to work with. But
do you have just a single table?
I think I just have the one. Yeah. And I'm going to try to focus it mostly for the gay audience, since that's the focus of the convention.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure they got a bit of everything, but yeah.
But yeah, I'll
I will make some choices as to what to bring, you know, and if there's anything you didn't pick up at Fiesta, hey, come see me in Austin.
For Haven Con. It will be an event. It'll be interesting. I don't know what to expect coming into it, but we will be there on the front row to see whatever happens happen.
Yeah, and hopefully we're nearby, or your parents' table's nearby us.
We can hopefully.
Chat or So I'm guessing you'll probably end up helping them out at some point.
They're helping me out at some point. The fact that you're actually able to go down there on the first day and I don't have to set up your table is nice. But yeah, other news is apparently Batman the Killing Joke animated movie starring voices of Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill will be R-rated.
Interesting. Yeah. Is this a theatrical movie? Or
like I don't know if it'll be theatrical, which... God, if they did a theatrical release for that, they would have such an issue. It's animated. What do you mean it's not for kids? Welcome to the rest of the world, fucko.
Yeah.
I really hope that they don't water down Suicide Squad because of how Batman Superman did.
They're actually, like, making it jokier.
Yeah, that's what...
But the thing is, previously DC CU had been like, no jokes, super serious.
Yeah.
And people don't like that.
It could have been the Deadpool, but, you know.
Well, they're like, say, wait, Deadpool made a lot. Deadpool made lots of money. Deadpool made the most money of an R-rated film ever.
Did it?
Yeah. It's bigger than Jesus. Prior to that, the movie that had made the most money that was an R-rated film had been Passion of the Christ.
And they didn't have...
Which was just a Jesus gore fic.
Mm. And they didn't have the biggest budget for that. Mm-mm. I mean, they had to use kind of B-list...
It's like X-Men. Before any X-Men. More X-Men.
Yeah. I'm not super familiar with Deadpool, so like I was like I knew that he did like fourth wall breaking, but it was still really neat to see that it happened.
Whereas I am a Professor Deadpool
Stewart or McAvoy
fangirl from way back. And yes, that if you like the movie, that's the comics. In a nutshell.
Yeah. Oh, they've already announced that there is going to be a sequel. Same Deadpool, same director.
Good.
So.
Good.
Don't fuck it up, dudes.
Because they nailed it.
Yeah. I love the opening credits, too. Mm-hmm. Didn't you tell me that was originally just placeholder
stuff? Yeah, it was placeholder stuff. Because they didn't have everything nailed down, but they needed to get the mock-up out. Mm-hmm. And
people saw it and it was like...
They're like, wait, no, this is fucking great. You're keeping this.
Mm-hmm. Just call me Angel.
So.
Gratuitous cameo.
Yes.
CG character.
Oh, I finally saw Ant-Man. Recently,
it was my favorite. It was decent.
I got the Blu-ray. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed Stan Lee's cameo towards the end. Like, hell yeah, she fine.
I loved his cameo in Deadpool and the strip club. He was a DJ in the strip club.
That's right. Yeah. Was
it? Yeah, DJ, not bartender. But yeah,
he was the bartender in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a DJ in the
Deadpool. The strip club.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've just been really enjoying a lot of the comic book movies coming out. And, of course, we've got the next Captain America coming out.
The next Captain America looks really good. I mean, it's interesting because you're like, oh, it's the third Captain America movie. But really, it's just like it's like the 10th Marvel movie. You know, it's like Avengers 5 or something because there's so many characters that will cross over from one to the other.
It's kind of like reading the comic books back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Where you have to keep picking up all the other comic books because there's something tied in.
I wonder if Ant-Man going to be in Civil War?
Don't think so.
He is going to be in the next. Oh, he is? Okay. I know he's going to be in the next Avengers movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, cool. And, of course, I mean, Iron Man is in Civil War.
I can't wait for the next Guardians. I hope Guardians is as good as the first Guardians.
Oh, I hope so, too.
That was such a fun movie.
And they'll also tie it more into the larger continuity.
Well, they've been setting it up with the Infinity Stones across, like, a whole bunch of different...
Because Thor actually, like, explained all that in Age of Ultron, so now...
And
like,
it was in Guardians, and so they've been setting up the Infinity Gauntlet. saga like this entire time.
Oh, I haven't seen
Infinity War Part 1 and 2 is the
It's like 2018.
Yeah, the next two Avenger films.
Mm.
Yeah. So
Avengers, what, 4 and 5?
3 and 4.
3 and 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many Avengers? All the Avengers.
Oh, and I need to see the trailer for Doctor Strange. I saw the poster for Doctor Strange. Yeah, have you really seen
the trailer for the new Harry Potter universe?
Yes, I have.
Ooh, that looks good.
That looks good. That looks good.
Plus, I love that time period that they're setting it in.
Uh-huh, yeah. That's late 1800s kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like it'll be pretty cool.
Please don't fuck it up.
Oh, and Rogue One's trailer drops as well.
That one looks like it's going to be a rough time. All the
saltiness that it's another female.
You know, I think that's really manufactured. A lot of it is.
I rarely agree with Saverin when he says shit like that, but this time I actually do. Like, I haven't actually seen any saltiness. I've seen lots of artists saying that there's saltiness, or art artists, articles saying that there's saltiness, but I saw like one guy who was like a nobody, and that was it.
It's like taking YouTube comments seriously.
Yeah.
Who the fuck takes that?
Well, I haven't even seen like a lot of tweets. Like, and I looked at like all the tweet replies to the trailer drop on the Star Wars Twitter account. They were all pretty positive.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically they're trying. I think it looks cool as shit. Gonna be a dark, violent film. There's gonna be a fucking body count.
And I was listening to a podcast. Apparently, it's not been announced yet, and he wasn't in a trailer. But apparently, Darth Vader is the villain in it.
Good.
He's going to be like a main character.
And like, good. James Earl Jones isn't dead, so we can still have the voice. Yes.
you know that like Imperial Admiral dude in the white suit and the big cape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, there's
the one where it's dragging through the water. It's like, there's just some really good filmography in that trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one looks like it's going to be dark as shit. And it's like, oh, well, why would they throw a bunch of nobodies? Because
it's background?
It's background, and if they're a bunch of nobodies, they're deniable. They're not like, oh, well, these are these big known dudes. They're just a group of asshats who got killed if they get killed.
Do you know, you heard the voice of, it's a trap, Admiral Ackbar, dude. Ackbar.
Yeah.
He died. And you know where in the whole timeline Rogue One sits, right?
Yeah, it's before
A
New Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's between 3 and 4.
It's between 3 and 4.
Same time period as Rebels, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not everybody seems, I've heard a couple of people thinking it was going to be like more modern. It's how they're getting like the plans for
Death Star 2?
You know, the new one that they just blew
Star
up.
Killer Base.
Star Killer Base. Nope. It's like, it's the one about the Death Star.
Yeah, and apparently there's going to be another one about a young Han Solo and another one that's like a Boba Fett movie. Yep.
They're basically filling in the area.
Basically, the next 5 years, there is a Star Wars film every December. Yes. And if it's not one of the sequel trilogy, it's one of the Star Wars stories anthology movies.
Which I'm perfectly okay with.
Yeah, me too.
So long as it's totally good, awesome. I don't care where, so long as I get more Star Wars story.
Yeah.
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 And it'll be cool to see what they resurrect from the old EU into the canon.
Mm-hmm.
The current canon. Because they've actually
done that. I know nothing about, so I'm strictly
This is where I get to be like, oh shit, they brought back blah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there are people disappointed that the Imperial Grand Admiral, the dude in the white suit, was not blue. He wasn't Chiss. He wasn't Thrawn.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. They're like, they've brought back some. In Rebels, they brought back a particular Imperial ship type that is never mentioned except in a bunch of the EU, like some of the EU stuff. They brought back an Imperial a ship type. It was an Imperial Assault Carrier. All it does is it carries Strikecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically like, we're making this canon again. It's like, sweet.
Yeah, and like Clone Wars and Rebels are considered canon.
Clone Wars, I don't know if it survived. I know Rebels is. But Clone Wars,
they're making it right now.
Yeah.
I need to watch Rebels. I've heard it's decent.
I think it gets better in the later season, apparently.
So just sit through it until it...
Yeah.
Suffer until it gets better.
And they, you know, they don't hesitate to kill motherfuckers either. Like, they kill a bunch of stormtroopers. The faceless mooks wipe you the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I mean, they're Star Wars, so motherfuckers die.
Traitor!
Yeah.
Apparently that character is like really popular now, so he's getting like a backstory or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why does this one stormtrooper have like a big electric, sorry, sword thing or something?
Why does he have a crowd control baton? Because they were gonna land it and smack some bitches and not just shoot everybody.
But why not? Oh, okay, they're stormtroopers. Why not just shoot everybody? That's what they do.
I don't know, man. Because they wanted to have a fight where a dude with an electric tonfa calls Finn traitor and proceeds to beat the shit out of him until Han Solo blasts the motherfucker away with a bowcaster.
Yeah. Is that what it's called? A bowcaster?
Yes.
Is that related to a Stratocaster?
No.
Oh.
It's, nerd hat.
That'll not be a fucking trophy.
No. Basically, it's like a Wookiee energy shotgun, mm-hmm. except Chewbacca's shoot just concentrates it to a single beam, so it's like ultra hyper destructive instead of shooting in a spread pattern.
I like this thing.
Yeah. So, anyways, God, it is now an hour 50.
It's not how the Force works. I enjoyed the movie. I bought it recently. Also, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show. So, like, we always talk about, like, digital rights
uh-huh.
and stuff like that, digital rights management and things like that. Disney, I have to give props to. They're short of just giving me an AVI for my digital copy that I can use anywhere. They're doing it the best way they can. You sign up for this Disney movie account, right? And you can link it to multiple other accounts. So when I registered my digital versions of Age of Ultron and Force Awakens, I could link it to my iTunes account, my Amazon account, and my Google account, which means that I can watch those movies on my iPad and Apple TV, on my PC through iTunes, on Google Play through my Android phone, and on my PS3 through my Amazon app.
Nice.
So, and that's not even all of them. There's like two or three other ones that I don't use that were on there as well. So that's, you know, because I hate those ones that are like, you can play it anywhere if you install Ultraviolet. And I'm like, I don't want to fucking install a proprietary app. I just want it to play through like Apple TV or something like that, you know? So Disney Marvel have actually done their digital HD versions as well as I think you possibly can right now.
Like, Panther won't even buy DVDs or Blu-rays if they have Ultraviolet digital, because that's basically what we buy the stuff for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we don't buy it directly through iTunes, we'll buy stuff on Blu-ray mm-hmm. as long as it comes with the digital version too. Because, yeah, we use our PlayStation 3 to watch Blu-rays on.
Right.
And that's really it. And right. I don't even use it for capture because they're fucky anyway.
Okay.
But yeah.
So, I use it for streaming media quite a bit.
Mostly.
Well, we got our Apple TV 2 or whatever it is, the current model one.
Oh, you got the new one?
Yep. We were like, oh, new one. We had like an original version.
Oh, I got like the one after that.
Because, you know, early adopters and all that.
Yeah.
And basically we were just like, yeah, it's time. We upgraded it, got the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
Now it has local storage as well as
the
network storage.
So that probably makes the streaming smoother when you're like
it can buffer.
It can buffer a lot, yeah. For your digital copies. That's cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's still only like $130 or something like that, right?
It was $200.
Oh, it is?
Mm. But it's like,
I have to say my least favorite piece of Apple technology is my Apple TV. Because I frequently get errors, or sometimes it just doesn't want to pay attention to what the remote's doing, and it's buggy. And I think I talked to you guys about this before, and it's like Apple TV is like not a priority for them.
No.
Like some of their other platforms, like they really put a lot of effort into their phones and their tablets. And some of their other products, not so much. But anyway. It's good for, it's fine for what it is. But
So anyway, yeah, that whole thing about the digital thing, I just wanted to mention that. Like, I really think that Disney and Marvel are doing a good job of that. They're like,
please watch our shit, just watch it legally.
Yeah.
And hey, if you give people an avenue that's easy to watch shit legally, they will do so more often than not.
I ordered the pack that had a DVD, a Blu-ray, and a digital HD, and a digital HD was super easy to use and add to my iTunes account, and I can use it in all these places, and that is absolutely the way to do it. So we should wrap that up. We'll have a show next week, but come see us at HavenCon, and then I guess we'll have help Sheba move. Yeah, and then we'll have a con report. I don't know if you'll be available the week after that, if you'll be moving.
No, that's the actual move. Next Thursday, we're destroying furniture.
Oh, that's right.
Next Thursday, we use power tools to take apart my 400-pound couch. And that's not even, it is literally, because it's a recliner couch, it is insanely heavy to get out. So we're going to attempt to cut it into pieces with a sawzall so that we can get it down the stairs in chunks.
Wow. So are you going to, you're just destroying it at this point?
It's broken. It's a recliner couch, and one side won't stay up unless you lean it against the wall.
Okay, because when you were saying we're going to sawzall and get downstairs, I'm like, you're not going to attempt to reassemble it, are you?
No. I wouldn't want anybody who's not a professional to try and get it down the stairs. Yeah. You've seen my desk stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And it's incredibly heavy. I'm actually afraid that if somebody tries to carry it down and it slips, if it slips and hits someone, it will bowl them over and probably kill them.
You will wipe out some furry.
Yeah, so I'm not going to try to salvage this. I'm just going to take it apart and take it to the dumpster. Because next Saturday, not tomorrow, like 2 days from now, but a week from now, we're getting rid of everything we're going to get rid of. And go down to, oh my God, we're living out of boxes for a week. And then a week from that, we get movers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exciting. So
we'll give our HavenCon report that week.
Yep. I hope it is a good period. I hope it is a good time.
Yep. So follow us everywhere on Notcast. On that note, good night. Fuck the bunny. Don't fuck the snake. Maybe cuddle the snake and horse pussy.
Thanks, Buzz.
Good sign off.
Got it covered.